I can't believe it's that time of the week again. Time for Tech Plus. A very big hello to you and welcome to it. My name's Ian and I'm joined by Kane. And for the next 60 minutes or so, we will be discussing this week's biggest tech stories. See what happened this week. And it's been quite an eventful week, hasn't it, Kane? Hello to you.
Hello. No, it has been an absolutely crazy week, actually. We got a lot of developments. Poor Facebook even taking knocks left, right, and center after we spoke about, you know, their revenue dropping and they're worried. So I'm very excited to actually get into some of the tech news today. What do you have for us?
Ooh, I've got a lot, eh? But firstly, let's talk about the Tinder swindler.
The Tinder swindler.
Did you see it?
I have not.
Okay, it's an hour and a half, almost 2 hour long documentary about this really smooth operator, this guy who's overseas, and he's just putting on the charm and swindling his way out of, you know, people's, well, into ladies' hearts, and then their wallets take the tumble.
Oh, I swear I've heard something like this.
So yeah, so what he's doing is, so he appears on Tinder, is all nice, he pretends to be the son of a billionaire, his photos photoshopped next to this supposedly billionaire, and then what happens is after a while he says no, you know, because he's such a high profile personality, there's some bad guys coming for him, and now he can't use his credit card because people are going to be able to trace him. So he's asking the lady who's now completely infatuated with him to please send her credit card details. He will of course pay you back immediately, but he's just firstly going to max it out and spend it on a lot of stuff.
Oh my word, that, I mean, just seeing that message, if I was doing something like that, I'd be out of there. I'd be like, this is suspect for days.
Yeah, you know? But you know what the South African version is of that?
What?
They won't ask you for your credit card, just send me some airtime, man.
Use airtime transfer.
Yeah.
I actually saw that Telkom put limits on it. I was trying to get some airtime for my phone, but my banking app was like down, so I couldn't purchase airtime. So I came up with the bright idea that I would send airtime from one phone to another phone. Mm. So I sent like 50 rand, and I was going to top up my phone with like 300, 400 rand with the airtime to buy some data deal. I could the maximum I could send myself was 50 rand. So I sent it. Why? And I did it twice. And then a third time, and if I try to do it a fourth time, it's like limit exceeded. You may not transfer any more airtime. And I was like, oh my, there's obviously people scamming like that. You ask for like 1,000 rand airtime or something like that.
Yeah, you're right. But Kane, just to get back to the Tinder swindler, listen to this guy. He's got it all, eh? I don't know if that was Photoshop, but he appears in private planes. He's got everything. He flies to you. He appears in your city. Doesn't matter where you are. Listen, he was in Cape Town.
He was in Cape Town?
Yeah, there's actually a photo of him where he's standing in front of Table Mountain. That photo was taken from the waterfront, I think. So I wonder if our South African ladies also, you know, were victims. But they are obviously just interviewing three ladies from abroad and talking to them. But these three ladies have now gone on to create a GoFundMe page to help them to pay back their debt. Because obviously they owe the bank a lot of money because he also had them taking out loans and all that kind of stuff. They are responsible to pay it back now. But I said on social media this week, I don't feel sorry for them.
Yeah, you know, you got scammed.
From the beginning, this guy was screaming scamster. Doesn't matter what he looks like. He doesn't even look that great, by the way. So it was just screaming scamster right from the beginning. And they send him, or scammer, sorry.
They send him money.
And they sent him money and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I saw with Tinder Premium or whatever, you can set your location anywhere in the world. So he really has the world at his fingertips in terms of how many people he could potentially reach. And he might have to speak to 1,000 people to scam 10, you know?
But my question is, do we need to help these ladies out now after that? Do we need to contribute to their GoFundMe page? I say no.
Bit of a philosophical question.
Yeah, I say no. You were stupid enough.
No, you have to learn your lesson somewhere. And who's going to bail you out? If anything, this guy should be arrested for...
He was temporarily arrested. Listen, he's free. Israel, I think. He's out in Israel now.
Really?
And apparently he's looking at getting, according to the documentary, he's looking at getting facial plastic surgery so that his whole look is going to change. Because the whole world knows what he looks like now.
That's crazy.
But I'm just saying, why should we pay the ladies and help them? You know, I don't really feel sorry for them.
Would paying them stop it happening to someone else?
Well, the documentary
money must come out the pocket. It should solve other people falling into the same problem.
And I was also asking, did they not pay these ladies to appear in the documentary?
Good question.
So use that money to pay it off.
I heard something alarming, which opened my eyes to big box deals, right? Like big high level deals. Remember Smosh? They were one of the first YouTube channels to come out.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah. They were one of the... They've held the title of most subscribed YouTuber about 3 times prior to... Well, today, you know, maybe in 2013 and 2016 and 2017, I think they had top ranking positions. And they did a deal with a company who bought Smosh's rights from them. They basically were working for the company. And what that company paid them was in stock options, which meant that when the company goes public, an amount of the stocks go to those people. Now the company never went public.
Ish.
So they basically sold their whole business for nothing.
Oh dear.
And when I think about Netflix like this creating documentaries, is it really too crazy to think that they didn't make a cent from it? You know, if a big content creator like that can get screwed, what is the everyday person looking at in terms of remuneration for that kind of content? Maybe they made money, I stand to be corrected, but it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You better have your dots crossed, your eyes dotted and your T's crossed if you plan to make money like that with some of these guys that know the inside, outside, left and right of the whole package, you know what I mean?
So, Kane, should we help these 3 ladies?
I think they made a mistake. Potentially helping them could help, but it's not going to solve later problems. If anything, them getting wrecked the way they did and actually truly losing money and not having someone come and, you know, keep the boat afloat stands to make a bigger impact on other people to proceed with caution when doing things like that. Because it dulls the impact if they're just rescued, somewhat straight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
But that's just looking at it from a pure, you know, making a change perspective. In terms of helping people, like if I gave my credit card away and they max it out and I don't have the money to pay for it, I hope somebody wants to help me.
I like your answer there, yeah. Good answer. And then the other one I also want to just warn everybody is there's a new Windows update that came out this week. I don't know if you saw it, but I during a deadline this week had the blue screen popping up. It just started doing the, like, everything was just starting to get really slow. I was like, no man, something's not lacking here. So I said, okay, let's restart the computer, and then the update started and it took forever. It must have been a massive Windows update, so just look out for that. If your computer starts slowing down very suddenly, it's going to force that update on you eventually.
You got to turn those off.
Yeah.
They're destructive. Set it to a time. Set when it updates.
Yeah, but I swear it was doing it anyway. It doesn't care.
You know, on that note, I think problems like that are actually occurring a lot. Apple just reported a pretty big bug. Apple says a small portion of iPhone's recorded interactions with Siri, even if you opted out of those.
I saw that.
How crazy is that? So they obviously give you the option to opt in or opt out of Siri recording your conversations with her, and they will term it as it's to better the user experience and use your anonymous data in order to better build Siri and things like that. But when you tell a person they've opted out of personal data being collected but it's still collected, you run into what's happening now. So Apple has acknowledged an iOS 15 bug that may have recorded interactions with Siri on some devices, regardless of whether the user opted out. According to a report from CDNet, the bug automatically enabled the improved Siri and dictation setting that gives Apple permission to record, store, and review your conversations with Siri. Apple tells The Verge that it identified the bug shortly after the release of iOS 15, stopped reviewing any recordings inadvertently received, and is deleting info received from affected devices. So they're saying they're trying to remove all this captured information. But the thing is, the information was still captured even if you opted out. And now with the new iOS 15.2 update, you will now be asked to basically allow Siri that ability to record, you know, your conversations and dictations with
it. As long as you're aware, you know.
As long as you choose to.
Yeah, it shouldn't do it in the background.
And it's concerning because iOS,
yeah,
Apple themselves, recently changed some very influential privacy settings in terms of what information is shared with companies that create apps within the iOS store. And one of the companies that have taken the biggest knock from that policy is Facebook, because they can no longer collect data from an iPhone. And that's concerning because Facebook's whole business model revolves around being able to take information from other apps that are installed on your device, what your other app activity looks like, and what your viewing experience is like, to determine what kind of ads can be pushed to.
Exactly. How's it going to affect advertisers on Facebook?
And then here comes Apple, you know, with their big privacy thing, with a massive bug that completely destroys what privacy they promised you. It's like, you know what I mean? You got to tread carefully.
I can't believe a company that massive would make a mistake like that.
Well, I think when they realized the mistake, they knew they had to go public immediately. So it's good that they went out and they announced to the public that this was a bug.
Yeah,
because if anything else came out, that would be destructive. And actually, speaking about Facebook, Meta Platforms revenue is taking a multi-billion dollar hit this year because its social networks can't gather this information. I just said from iPhone users. And it's detrimental because we've seen Facebook shares drop quite dramatically. They've said their projected revenue for 2022 is not... They're potentially making a loss in 2022. And their stock price has crashed. We spoke about it last week where their stocks took a massive knock. And things like this happening are adding additional pressure to Facebook. But not just to Facebook. To people who advertise on Facebook.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what that kind of damage is at the moment. So the company spent last year attacking Apple for their change. Now it's publicly calling out Google too. The Facebook owner is alleging Google, which also sells personalized ads on iPhones, has an unfair advantage under Apple's new policies. Apps including Facebook have to ask users if they consent to being tracked, but Google search results and browsers don't, causing some advertisers' budgets to shift to Google for more effective targeting.
Yeah.
Meta only started critiquing other tech giants by name in recent years. The social media behemoth, now facing antitrust scrutiny around the world, stands to benefit from framing itself as an underdog, threatened by larger forces. Still, Meta told investors to expect to miss out on about $10 billion in ad revenue in 2022 because of Apple's changes, making it clear the company is more severely impacted than others. Facebook had relied on data from other apps and websites to make its ads more effective. Without it, advertisers need to spend more money to achieve the same results. So here, someone stood out and actually said how much money is it costing them to run ads on Facebook compared to last year. So Doug Zarkin, which is the chief marketing officer of Pearl Vision, which relies on Facebook and Instagram to drive people to its eye care website and stores, estimated that campaigns are between 15 and 30% more expensive than last year.
Yeah.
And that's a problem because some people sell products on Facebook and they're only making 15%.
Exactly, yeah. So what are they doing now?
Now you have to pay more.
Shame, no.
Up the price
cool.
of the product. And that what that does is it makes people look for alternatives.
Exactly, yeah.
And as long as there are alternatives out there that are cheaper than Facebook, or blatantly obviously cheaper, as in, okay, I made this amount of money from Google Ads and spent this amount of money. Now on Facebook, I've spent more money and got less results. It results in people leaving the advertiser's platform. And
exactly.
The advertiser is what makes Facebook its revenue.
Exactly.
So Apple causing big trouble
at
the moment in the tech world.
Yeah, and you're talking about paying more money and all that kind of stuff. You know who wants more money from you now?
I have a feeling you're going to say TV licenses.
No. No, they're still coming, eh? They're still coming for us. But no, actually, DSTV.
Oh, no, really?
Yes, they want more money from you now.
What?
For what they're giving you.
Ha 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 ha!
When you're so deep in conversation that you almost forget to go back on air. It's Sinkol and Like This. We're having interesting conversations here in the studio today. But anyway, DSTV, like I said before the break, DSTV want more money from you. Are you going to give it to them?
I considered getting the premium DSTV package for my house. I considered it, and my conclusion was it's too expensive.
Only
and
full
you're
sport.
Telling me now that they're upping the price.
Yeah, but it's a small increase per month because, like I said to you off air now, the DSTV CEO is kind of saying that they absorbed most of the costs, so you're not going to pay that much more. But just it's so funny, the day that the price increases kick in is the 1st of April. What a joke. But anyway, so premium subscribers, that's the biggest package you can have, is now going to be 1.21% more expensive, or let's just say 10 rand more per month. So that's small.
That's very small.
It is small. So they absorb most of the cost, but... Do you really want to give 10 rand extra for watching repeats of Anaconda and just keeping it for sport? That's the big question. Compact Plus is going up by 10 rand. Normal compact subscribers will pay 20 rand more. So that one's going up quite a bit, 4.89% for some reason. Family subscribers, you'll pay 14 rand more. That's what's the price of a bread, eh?
Yeah, it's not much.
And then DSTV Access subscribers will pay 5 rand more. Oh, wow, I'm bankrupt. And then pricing for Easy View, Showmax, and Ad Movies and Box Office, that's quite nice, will actually remain unchanged for 2022. It says DSTV, it has considered the challenges facing South African consumers and tried to absorb as much of the increase of the cost of doing business as possible in order to implement minimal adjustments. So, yeah. It's not too bad, but they're still increasing the prices anyway.
So it could increase. So basically, it's increasing, depending on the package you're on, between 70 rand and 480 rand annually.
Yes.
That you're going to be paying.
Yeah, that's
more.
Right. Yeah.
And it's actually the middle tier bracket that's paying the 480 rand annually.
Yes. But why? What if this is the last straw for somebody? Now they want an extra 10 rand a month, and that finally snaps the camel's back.
They go,
and then the person cancels DSTV altogether.
They go outside and lasso the satellite and rip it off.
I've had it. Yeah, but like somebody, I'm reading the comments on the price announcement, and people just say, "Listen, I'm keeping it for the sport. I don't know how else I can." Watch the sport. Where else I can watch the sport? So I'm keeping it for the sport. But if I know of a place or a site where I can watch the sport with no interruptions, like the rugby and all that, I think the problem is the local matches. You don't have websites streaming those local matches because Super Sport's got an exclusive on it.
No.
So that's what's keeping people locked into these packages. Only that, the local sport, watching the Springboks at the weekend, playing on local...
The thing that gets to me is a lot of people would pay that 1,200 rand a month, and that kind of money would go towards something like life insurance or insurance in general or car insurance or some kind of... That amount of money would be, you know, better spent on maintaining, you know, your own life or preventing future crises and things like that. But for 1,200 rand... Are you really going to pay that amount of monthly for sport? I mean, we're talking about, you know, upwards of 13,000 rand a year to watch sport.
Some people are very, very strict about their rugby, eh?
No, I agree that they are definitely passionate sport fans. But at that price range, it's not like I can be a sports fan and not have a relatively successful financial life.
Man, you can buy the bloody tickets and go and watch it in person then.
Yeah.
It'll be
for
cheaper.
That price.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money every month.
So where is that breaking point going to be where people say, look, no, I can actually go and watch it in person and be there in person and experience it. So what? I'm cancelling it.
I think it would be anyone that creates a Netflix for sport.
Yeah.
Anyone who creates something like that would be the breaking point for DSTV. And the important thing to remember is DSTV obviously pays sports stadiums and sports matches and helps support it because they're buying rights to licensing it.
Yes.
So if a competitor comes in and offers the other side of the contract deal between DSTV and whoever is is holding the sport and doing all of that kind of hard work, if they're going to make more money outside of DStv, plus the consumer is going to pay less money to watch it, it would be the end of DStv.
That would be the end of DStv. They'll end up being an SABC, building falling apart, phoning you every day for R5.
Apparently, if SABC is filing for some sort of, I just passed it by on some news, but there might be a case where everybody who owes money for their TV licenses is just washed away.
Oh, thank you.
Because they just broke down.
Then they can stop calling me.
Yeah.
Jeez. Listen, I keep blocking these numbers, especially these spam callers, but they keep phoning me from other numbers. How many numbers do these people have?
Infinite. You have software online that you can
just
pay for, that
and just then you just generate a new number, and then you can block into infinity. They'll find another number
exactly
to call you. Gee,
and you always know when a lot of companies use this, because you'll get like a phone call, and it will say like scammer, and or it'll say like telecom scam, and you answer it, and it's like Markham checking on if you're making a payment for your account this month.
Mm.
It's because people utilize these numbers for so many various solutions.
Oh, shoot.
So it's not just one company using one service. It's many companies using one service.
Oh, dear.
And their numbers are constantly... And you'll know a number because it's like 15 digits long. You know, it's like +87541585204, and you like can't even send an SMS back. Like, I always wonder about how they manage those. But I think there's definitely a B2B service out there that provides these kind of spam calling solutions, or at least money collection services, or mobile number services whereby you can communicate with your SMS, your mobile number database and things like that.
You won't believe this SMS I just got.
What?
We are writing off R166.89 to help you settle your Celsi account today. Now you only have to pay R945.74, valid till the end of February 2022. There's only one problem.
I don't have
a Celsi account. No, man, listen, I can't believe these SMSs are coming in while we're actually talking about this kind of stuff. Isn't this stalking?
It's time to change your number, yeah.
Isn't this... It is, actually. I've got a new sim. But isn't it stalking, you know, with this new Poppy Act and so on?
Yeah, you can take action.
Can
if you
I
have
take
someone
action?
To
okay,
connect the
action.
SMS to...
I don't have a... They keep asking me to pay FNB and Celsi. I don't have any of those.
It's so weird. They must have got your data from somewhere. Probably a breach from Celsi,
yeah.
Or from, which is the other one? Celsi and
FNB.
FNB.
Yeah.
I don't like FNB.
Well, I don't like these people who keep calling me, for God's sake.
Talking about, you know, storms and things like that. Solar magnetic storms could threaten more satellites after Elon Musk's Starlink. So listen to how crazy this is, okay? Elon Musk's SpaceX will lose 40 Starlink satellites to a geomagnetic storm as solar activity ramps up. They're losing 40 satellites, right? So 40 of the 49 newest Starlink satellites that were launched last Thursday were affected by a geomagnetic storm on that day, on Friday. The storm increased the density in Earth's atmosphere, increasing drag on the satellites as they released and attempted to insert into orbit. This drag kept the satellites from entering orbit and will now burn up in our atmosphere. So SpaceX tried to launch some new Starlink satellites. They have quite a few thousand already that are up there and orbiting. But while they were launching the satellite, a geomagnetic storm hit. So all the satellites that were supposed to go into orbit didn't make it to orbit and are now going to disintegrate into the atmosphere.
Oh dear.
They're not going to crash on you. You're not going to wake up the next day with a solar panel through your dining room table. But there's definitely astonishment that can cause such severe issues.
Yeah.
And it does happen a lot, apparently. While the storm itself was by no means a big event, it was just the wrong timing.
Mm.
So it tells you how much has to go into the planning of launching a satellite, and how just a little solar flare can not only increase the atmosphere of the planet, but also cause issues with satellites, whether it's static discharges or accelerated particles piercing the satellite and causing single event issues and things like that, or multi-event issues with long-term problematic issues. Just a little solar flare, you know?
I see Elon is sending his satellites or satellite internet to Tonga as well, where they had that massive volcano. Yeah. Because they were cut off from the world completely, and Elon said, hey guys, I'll connect you again.
That's nice. So cool. And what a clever business brain that is.
Yeah, he's seeing that opportunity.
Yeah, and seizing it, not just seeing it.
Yes, and seizing it. Seize it, man. Seize it.
So do you know who's writing a new book?
Donald Trump.
Oh, close. Bill Gates has announced a new book on how to prevent the next pandemic.
Why would Bill Gates know about that? He can barely do Windows updates, right? That's the pandemic. The new pandemic is Windows updates.
So Bill Gates will address being caught up in COVID-19 conspiracy theories in his new book. So obviously there's been a lot of conspiracy theories about the vaccine and people getting chips put in them and all that sort of stuff. And apparently he's addressing these conspiracies in his book. The billionaire business magnate and philanthropist who recently warned the world recently warned that the world faces future pandemics far worse than COVID-19 was falsely accused of wanting to plant microchips in people's arms via coronavirus vaccines amid the global pandemic. And the Microsoft co-founder has announced the upcoming tome, How to Prevent the Next Pandemic, which will go into detail about misinformation and how to best avoid more pandemics. In a new post on his Gates Notes blog, Gates announced that his new book will be published in May 2022. In an accompanying promo video, he said, we're not as close to the end of this pandemic as we would like, but we have learned a lot about how to stop this happening again. So, would you read this book?
Shut up, Bill. I don't really like him that much anymore.
Don't you like him so much?
No, I don't like him anymore. He can take his book.
Bill Gates, the funny thing is, before COVID even started, Bill Gates was talking about potential pandemics. And then they hit, and now he's creating a book. I feel like the main thing is his image has been dampened by the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
And this book is almost like a pivotal marketing activity that you can do to change the narrative slightly.
You're right, yeah.
And address some of these issues in a way. And it's funny because it's a book, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like such an old school way to solve the problem. Instead of creating like a video series or having a TED talk or you create a whole book, mm-hmm. 500 pages, sell it a year from now. And the thing is, it's in May of 2022. So I mean, like, we're right around the corner being released.
Wow.
I might turn a few pages just to see.
Turn a few pages, just like the first five as
good
a trial.
Bill has to say.
Well, why not? Why not? You know, he is an intelligent man. But anyway, talking about conspiracy theories, I see Spotify is completely standing with Joe Rogan, eh? That's probably their main guy, isn't it?
Yeah, no, they poured money into that guy's deal.
So they got to stand with him no matter what he says or does.
Yeah.
So,
Didn't they remove some of his podcasts? Apparently, they removed 139 of his podcasts from Spotify.
Oh, that's not cool. I know that a lot of artists want their music removed from Spotify in protest. One of them being one of the older artists. What's his name? Neil Young, I think.
Oh, yes. We spoke about it last
year. Yeah, and he's now also calling on the Spotify employees to resign in protest, which is a very drastic step.
Jeez.
He says he doesn't have anything against Joe Rogan per se, but more against the Spotify CEO and his way of doing things.
You know, it's just... I don't agree with it because it's like a couple of artists that are up, and maybe there's a lot, but there's a few artists that are up in Raw, and they're all using the same platform to derive profits, and to go to another creator and tell Spotify, listeners of Spotify, to not support that other content creator for the simple fact that some of the information that he talks about doesn't sit well with some people, and you're right to have an opinion about that content, but the actual action of trying to destroy one creator by using the audience of the platform and the platform itself against the other creator, I think is just... it's a bit over the top, to be honest.
And it's not even a relevant, massive, big artist who's doing it. It's a guy who released some songs in the 60s or 70s.
No.
Like, the youth today won't even know who he is.
But that's the thing that confuses me, because Joe Rogan isn't necessarily advocating or pushing conspiracy theories. He's more having conversations with people that have opinions, very strong opinions.
Yeah.
And what damage does it do to hear someone's opinion?
Yeah.
You're not accepting that. It's not like you're going to hear it and be like, my life is now over, I have to listen to
this. Like our opinions, especially mine. You don't have to agree with them.
No.
But you're listening to them.
But you can listen and hear it out. Exactly. And use it to form your own opinion. I don't think it's breaking any rules. I mean, yeah, misinformation is a real thing. Some people might just take it as fact because they're on the Joe Rogan show. But at the same time, there's other people with differentiating opinions. Like, form your own opinion. You will never know all the facts unless you have them presented in front of you. And to pretend that your opinion is the right opinion without taking the time to listen to other people's opinion just means you're less informed than everyone else.
Exactly.
You're protecting and safeguarding an ideology or an opinion that may or may not be correct.
You're right. You are so right. Facts. Just copy that. Exactly what you just said. No, it's so true. And also, there's a meme going around. It says, Neil Young fans trying to delete Spotify. Then it's this old lady with this massive brick phone trying to delete Spotify.
Throwing a brick at their phone.
Yeah, I think that was quite funny.
That is very funny.
But anyway, let's go for some music with Callum Scott featuring Lost Frequencies. And then we've got some more Tech Plus to share with you. And we're back with Tech Plus. Remember, if there's something you want to say, you want to get in touch during the show, send us a WhatsApp on 081-060-1640. It was Callum Scott with The Lost Frequencies and Where Are You Now? Now let's continue with Tech Plus. Kane, did you see that Netflix will be releasing at least 70 new movies this year?
Wow.
That's a lot of movies.
That's pretty impressive considering some franchises only release a movie every 2-3 years.
I think I'll pour my extra 10 rand at DSTV once. pour it into Netflix.
Just to prove that I'm passionate about Netflix, I'll be happy to buy another Netflix subscription instead of DSTV. No, I'm joking.
Listen, how incredible is Netflix? Let's just go back to their history, where they started off as a video mailing service where they would send you DVDs in the post of stuff that you've ordered from a catalog. That's how they started in America. Look at them today. It's a video streaming giant. They're paying the biggest stars millions, billions to make new content.
Look at them today. Look where they started. It shows you the power of being able to adapt in an ever-changing landscape.
Yeah, like getting the old Netflix, like the old logo and everything. It was almost like a video store, but by mail. So you would get the video or the DVD in your postbox from Netflix.
That is crazy.
And now you access it online and see all of them. No mail to wait for anything. No mail getting lost, especially if you're in South Africa, because I'm sure people would then steal your DVDs.
I mean, what a journey they've had, hey?
Okay, so 70 brand new movies. There's a movie, in fact, that they've spent, I think it's called The Gray Man. It's got big stars like Ryan Gosling and Chris Evans starring in it, which they spent $200 million on. That's 3.05 billion rand in South Africa. Jeez. Making it Netflix's most expensive production to date. So how much money do these guys have, eh? That's the question.
That's crazy.
I would ask. So it's going to have a lot of new movies that you can look forward to that will be released this year. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Anything else that we might recognize? Do they have titles for every movie that's coming out?
Let us see. And I think they actually... Okay, let's see. Among the titles shown, two big sequels, the comedy mystery Knives Out 2, starring Daniel Craig and Enola Holmes, and then Millie Bobby Brown and Henry Cavill. Oh, gosh, I don't even know. Anyway. But new comedies, action thrillers, and dramas is what you could look forward to. A bit of sci-fi as well. I'm sure you'll enjoy that, Kane. With over 222 million paid memberships in 190 countries, Netflix is, no Killing doubt, it. The world's biggest streaming service.
Absolutely. I mean, I go on to I went onto, and it might be because I'm in South Africa, but I went onto Amazon Prime.
Yes.
And I hadn't been, and I go on once every 3 months when Netflix is dry. Like I've literally digested everything that I have an affinity to watch on Netflix. Yeah. And I go to Amazon Prime and they have one new movie. You know what I mean? Like, I think Tomorrow's War was the one. And then nothing else. I could watch Mr. Bean.
What I do then is I go back to the classics.
Yeah, like
I watch Matilda and Home Alone and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the only place. It's like when you go to a DVD store and you go to the rent for a week section.
Exactly.
That's what I feel like Amazon Prime is.
But talking about Netflix, you know, there's still a lot of movies that you don't find on there. Even classics, you know, that they really should make a plan to have it on Netflix all over the world and not just specific to certain regions. Because You can't even find Home Alone on Netflix in South Africa right now.
No.
You can find Matilda there.
Yeah.
But some of the classics, just, it needs to be on there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Otherwise, you're watching it on like 1-2-3 movies or something like that. And it's
What is 1-2-3 movies?
It's just like a place where you can watch movies for free, but it's the worst quality I've ever seen in my
life. Is it legal?
I don't even use it.
Does it have a lot
of... All my friends tell me about it.
Does it have a lot of pop-up ads?
I'm sure. I haven't used it enough, but all my friends always tell me about it, and then I tried it once, and it was like watching like on YouTube at like 140p. And then it's still buffered, and no. I was like, that's a no from me.
It's a no from you, from me as well.
So here's something very interesting. So you know I got the Samsung S21 Ultra last year?
Yes.
And I got it because I wanted to have a look at how the camera would perform and what kind of the video application would be. And Samsung didn't even let me have 12 months. They're releasing the S22 and S22 Plus. And it's going on sale in March.
I saw that. And have you got the price as well?
I got the prices. I got the specs. A fully loaded box meal.
How much is this going to cost us, I wonder?
So Samsung Electronics has unveiled 3 new smartphones in its Galaxy S series, which will go on sale in South Africa early next month. They're also releasing some tablets. It's called the S8 series. It's specific tablets. We'll talk about it now. The Galaxy S22 and S22 Plus and S22 Ultra were officially launched last night before a global audience during Samsung's annual Galaxy Unpacked event. The South Korean electronics giant also marked the occasion with the launch of its Galaxy Tab S8 series, which includes the Tab S8, Tab S8 Plus, and you guessed it, Tab S8 Ultra. Samsung says the S22 and S22 Plus introduce dynamic cameras with advanced intelligent image processing, adding the two flagship devices are designed to be beautiful and environmentally conscious. Our smartphone cameras, they said, have transformed the way we create, share, and communicate. Through photos and videos, we express ourselves and connect with the people we care about, explained TM Rowe, president and head of Samsung Electronics. That's why we focused on designing our latest S-series devices with groundbreaking camera capabilities that work day and night, powered by our best mobile performance yet. Equipped with Samsung's latest artificial intelligence technology, the S22 features a 6.1-inch display, while the S22 Plus has a 6.6-inch display screen. Both smartphones are built with a fixed 50-megapixel front camera, 10-megapixel tele-lens, and a 12-megapixel ultra-wide lens. The devices also showcase a new auto-framing feature, which detects and tracks up to 10 people and automatically adjusts the camera's focus to capture everyone clearly. That's, you know, credit where credit is due. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
The S22 is built with all-day battery and 25-watt fast charging, and the S22 Plus features a powerful battery that can last longer than a day on a single charge, and the S22 Plus also offers 45-watt super fast charging. That's very fast. The Galaxy S22 and S21 Plus will be available in 4 colors: black, white, green, pink, and it's actually pink gold. It's like rose gold.
Oh yeah.
In 128 GB and 256 GB with 8 GB of RAM, which is crazy. You know, you have a 256 GB phone. I mean, some of the phones come out today with a terabyte of storage on them, and it's the size of the palm of your hand. We've moved a long way since eight gigabyte flash drives.
Yeah.
So everybody on my mind is, when I was reading this, is okay, well, what is happening with the S22 Ultra? That's what I care about. That's the flagship, the pilot. It's supposed to be better than Apple. So here's what's happening with the S22 Ultra. So they also unveiled the S22 Ultra, which says it's featuring a 6.8-inch display screen, built-in S Pen, So now your S22 Ultra, which mine doesn't have, my S21 Ultra doesn't have this. The S22 Ultra will come with a pen, an S Pen, for better doodling.
And signing. You do your signature because your nail, it's not easy to do with your nails.
No, and I will lose the pen if I were to get that.
I know you will.
I'll have the charger and earphones, but that pen is gone. And I'm going to be so sad about it. It's going to torment me. And I once lost the SIM tray for my phone.
Oh, no.
1,200 rand for a new SIM tray.
What?
If you can find it.
1,200 rand for that little thing?
For a little SIM tray.
Is there no way to carry on without one?
drop the SIM card in and hope for the best. Leave some tape there. I don't think so.
Jeez.
So the S22 Ultra will be available in black, white, green, and burgundy in 256 gig and 12 gig of RAM. Pre-orders can be placed from today and sales start on March 11. The price tag for the S22 Ultra is 28,900 rand. The price for the S22 and S22 Plus, for the S22 it's 19,999 rand, and for the S22 Plus it's 22,999 rand.
Sure.
Which is crazy.
I wonder how much it will be per month on the cell phone network contract deals.
Apparently, they priced reckon? At the same price range as the previous model. So if you're on contract with an S21 Ultra, or S21 or S21 Plus, you're going to pay the same amount for the S22, which is pretty cool.
How much do you think it will be per month?
Mine, I think, is 1,000 and something. 1,099.
That's all right.
I think it's 1,100. Okay, and it comes with data and everything. It's not...
Yes.
It's achievable.
And it's yours after 2 years.
Yeah. And then you can look at the S28 Ultra.
Yeah.
At Samsung, we constantly push ourselves to raise the bar on our most premium devices. The S22 Ultra takes the beloved functionality of the Galaxy Note and most celebrated aspects of the S series and merges them for a truly unique mobile experience. So, for those of you like me who care about what cameras on the S22 Ultra, to keep it nice and short, it has 5 cameras.
No, man. Why?
It has a 12-megapixel ultra-wide camera, which is more than normal ultra-wide. So, if you, like, zoom out as much as you can to, like, 0.6 zoom, it's wider than that.
Sure.
It has a 108-megapixel wide camera, a 10-megapixel telephoto camera, which is for, like, optical zoom, a 10-megapixel telephoto camera, and a 40-megapixel front camera.
Jeez.
You got, like... too many cameras.
So to take a selfie in all directions, I suppose.
Yeah, and then the thing that really confused me is they mentioned memory, right? So the memory would be RAM. And the thing that gets to me here is they have 8 gigs of RAM and 128 gigabytes of storage, 12 gigs of RAM and 256, or 12 gigs and 512. So 12 gigs of RAM, 512 gigs of space. And then they have 12 gigs of RAM and a terabyte of space. Imagine having a phone that is powerful, more powerful than most PCs.
Use it as a little external.
You can basically turn it into a jet airplane and fly it around. You can do supercomputer processing.
But Kane, why would I need 5 cameras on the phone?
What it actually is when you go on your phone's camera, and you wouldn't notice this, but when you go on the phone and you actually interact with the camera, like zooming in, it shifts to a different camera.
Oh.
When you're going into ultra wide, it shifts into another camera.
So you using, all of them have a specific function, and if you want to do that, it shifts to that
it
camera.
It uses a specific camera to achieve a specific result, and then on top of that, it has software functionality. So that software optimizes the image based on what is being received from every camera.
Okay.
To form your final product. That's the AI
processing part. Okay, it makes more sense. Thank you for that. Yeah. It makes more sense.
So it's a wider range. That's why sometimes, even on my phone, I'll take an amazing photo, and then for some reason I'll take another photo and it just doesn't quite come to the same standard
because
the
using
image processing hasn't done the best job because the environment is a little bit too complex. So what you would expect on the S22 Ultra is better post-processing, meaning some of those photos that you take that just don't quite do it will probably look better. That's probably your biggest difference. Other than that, it's a lot of money. I wouldn't sell the S21 to get an S22.
Okay. Noted. And it's almost time for us to wrap it up here on Tech Plus for this week, where we look at all the biggest stories of the week. You know, Kane, I see that Chrome, Google Chrome, will be doing something now to take you down browser memory lane. Google announced it's rolling out its Chrome Journey feature, which will let users revisit their historical browsing sessions based on the subject matter that was searched. It's almost like Facebook memories, but now it's browsing memories in Google Chrome. What if you clear your browsing history? That's the question. If a word entered in the search bar matches what was searched for in a historical browsing session, the user will be presented with the option to resume your search. Selecting resume your search will link the user to related sites that they've previously visited. A journeys page will present the websites that you've spent a lot of time on and will also provide suggestions based on your previous search terms. Google said that users could delete specific sites or entire chunks of browsing history included in their journeys. Chrome can also will also give you the option to disable the feature. Do you find it useful?
No.
But unnecessary, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unnecessary.
Why would you wanna, yeah?
I don't really find it that useful, to be honest.
Why would you want to, you know?
Here's something interesting, Ian. Are you ready?
Yes.
This is big for any gamers out there. This is a big one. So Grand Theft Auto 6 finally got confirmation that it's coming out.
Cool.
So all the PC game fans out there who love GTA 5,
yeah,
which came out 10 years ago and still kicking today.
Why did it take so long?
Came out in 2013.
Why?
Well, you see, Rockstar Games, which is the manufacturers of the game, or the developers of the game, they, instead of creating a second game, they kept revamping the existing game. So, you know, facelifting and better this and better that, but all under the same game's umbrella. So now's the first time that they've released, they're releasing GTA 6. And the reason that might be important for anyone that doesn't care about gaming is because when GTA 5 was released, it broke so many records that it made a massive expectation for other games that were being created for the last 10 years. So whatever they bring to the table for GTA 6, which doesn't have a release date yet, only a confirmation that development is now underway.
Okay, I was going to ask you, how long can it take to develop it and before you can actually release it?
Best case scenario, 1 year.
Okay.
Worst case scenario, two years.
Oh, three. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So you don't know. We saw the failure with Cyberpunk. That was horrific. Big hype, big this, big that, lots of promises, failed to deliver, came out buggy, and basically got washed away in the shrapnel. So Alfa Romeo, alright, here's something cool about cars. Alfa Romeo's new SUV will come with an NFT.
Oh gosh, everybody's talking about this NFT nowadays.
And the interesting
thing, I feel like an old person.
The interesting thing about Alfa Romeo's initiative with an NFT is actually not just about creating a exclusive piece of art, but also utilizing blockchain technology for a problem that some of us might face. The thing is, that problem has already to an extent been solved thanks to something like the VIN number, but what they intend to do is make historical information about the car be saved to that specific NFT on a blockchain. So you have undisputable, verifiable proof that a car has gone through the servicing that it is supposedly gone through, and various other vehicle information data, which is yet to be confirmed, can be verified on a secure ledger to determine what is the state of your car. But we know what a VIN number is. A VIN number does the same thing. You can put a car's VIN number in and you can see all the motorized details of that vehicle, and you can see the service history of that vehicle if it was recorded, and all sorts of other interesting things. You can also see accident reports against the VIN number. So how their NFT is exactly going to have a utility is one thing. What they've done now, I believe, is taking a step in the direction of the current NFT hype, right? They've heard NFTs being a term that is used. The cars and the companies and the businesses that utilize NFTs could potentially leverage that marketing that has already existed, that hype, that fear of missing out that already exists, and bring some attention back to onto their own brand. On the pre-owned car market, NFT certification represents an additional source of credibility for owners or dealers to count on. So we'll see how this goes, but you best believe those NFTs might be worth a fair penny if it's done exclusively. But Alfa Romeo has also mentioned that they're potentially bringing that functionality to their whole range as well. So I thought that was very interesting and something worth paying attention to, because these NFTs make millionaires. There's no other way to look at it.
And they're not going away anytime soon.
No.
It's the future.
The craze might fade away.
Mm.
The utility probably
NFT,
won't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just so, what does it stand for again?
It stands for something that doesn't make it any easier to understand. It stands for non-fungible token.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
but
I forgot about it.
What that means really is it's a certification of ownership for a digital asset.
That's it. Yeah.
It's like taking a photocopy of the Mona Lisa.
Mm.
But having a piece of information that says this is certified as the original picture of the Mona Lisa, da 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 da, proof of ownership, proof of originality, you know, certification. So that's kind of what an NFT is in a very basic way. But seeing companies like this come on, Ubisoft launching with NFTs, Alfa Romeo, Lamborghini just released NFTs, you know, it's
nice.
It's happening, it's trending. So I thought that would be very important to include here.
Well, thanks, Kane. And that's it for another show for another week. Also, I just want to say thank you to DStv for updating the DStv Now app. Their developers got a bit of a stroke after show last week. Well, I don't know. Maybe it helped a bit. I don't know. They released an update and all seems to be fine again now. There's a bit of a lag, but it's working. So, well done.
Well done.
Finally getting it right.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
Well done to them.
Took you a while, but it's actually quite nice now.
Well, Ian, I want to thank you so much for another great Tech Plus
episode. And you,
episode.
Thanks, man.
I think it was great. I'm looking forward to next week as the year kicks up and more tech and more news and all that good stuff comes to the surface. And we'll be back here same time next week.
Where's the hello?
Oh, and a special shout out to my friend Dylan, who just opened up the Vape Hub on Grey Street. We will we'll potentially hear more about that at a later stage.
Thanks, Kane. Enjoy the rest of your week, okay?
Thanks to everyone for listening. Shout out to all the listeners. Chat to you guys next week.
Bye-bye. Cheers.